Chapter 5, Suffering, Steps 1 through 5, The Inevitable Suffering of Life, and How We Make It Worse. Step 1, the core drive. We want to live in a house filled with unlimited peace, love, joy, and safety, a home where no pain or death can enter. This is our core drive. We crave a perfect world consisting of three parts. 1. The complete elimination of physical, mental, and spiritual anguish. 2. Unlimited peace, love, joy, and safety. 3. Immortality, the feeling that there is more time. These elements drive all of our good and bad habits alike. Whether we rob a bank or serve the poor, the motivation is the same. We want no pain, love and safety, and more time, afraid as we are of the unknown and death. Our quest to fulfill the core drive solely on the physical plane is doomed to fail, however, as material life is painful, the permanent solace we seek is transient, and death ultimately wins. Step 2, Duality and Brutal Reality. Duality. We do experience peace, love, and joy on the physical plane, but it is limited and change is inevitable. It is only a matter of time before reality shifts gears and brings forth new suffering, sometimes difficult or devastating, often brutal. This is the law of duality, which rules the story on the physical plane. Duality is the law of polar opposites, the ups and downs of life, pleasure and pain, good and evil, joy and sadness, love and hate, desire and aversion, likes and dislikes, gain and loss, health and disease, prosperity and poverty, wisdom and ignorance, strength and weakness, cruelty and kindness, life and death, and so on. These opposites oscillate throughout our lives. Brutal reality. However we seek to avoid it, suffering is inevitable, time is limited, and the mysterious, infinite unknown, death, takes over in the end. This can be overwhelming. This is the harsh side of reality, here referred to as brutal reality. Brutal reality includes three elements. 1, death. 2, pain and suffering. 3, the unknown. In effect, brutal reality is the dark side of duality, pain, limitation, and impermanence. It has great power and ultimately cannot be controlled. It asserts itself unpredictably in anyone's life at any time and in a seemingly endless variety of ways. We suffer brutal reality individually from disease, violence, racism, poverty, and injustice, and collectively from cataclysmic events such as political upheaval, earthquakes, and war. Since life eventually leads to death, brutal reality ultimately reigns on the physical plane. While the ordinary changes of life are a source of adventure and excitement, death is terrifying as it forces us to leave behind everything we know. In the card game of life, we must play the hand we are dealt, but death, that invisible, mysterious opponent, holds the ace. We do not like this power arrangement, and in our attempts to get control and feel safe, we accumulate as many cards in the deck as possible. But brutal reality wins in the end. At death, when brutal reality finally plays its ace, we are thrust forward into the unknown at an accelerated pace. We are propelled into a personal form of future shock. There's a radical, rapid shift into the heart of the mysterious, infinite unknown. Step 3, the compromise. The show. We want to live painlessly and forever in perfect harmony. We try to achieve this core drive through the big show, the story of life on the physical plane. The action is attractive, fascinating, and seductive. It lures us into thinking we can achieve comfort and safety through our relationships, work, and recreation. We love the show, but the laws of duality and brutal reality rule the drama. Everything on the physical plane is temporary and limited. Suffering is unavoidable, and death wins in the end. We try in vain to control our stories, but this is impossible. The external world will simply not deliver the absolute safety and perfect love we crave. We can't get everything we want on the physical plane. In the collision between the core drive and duality, we discover the need to compromise. The compromise is referred to as the illusion of safety. We compromise by creating the illusion of safety through relationships and activities. Friends, family, work, recreation, culture, and hobbies provide us with a measure of love and security. There is healing here. Suffering is reduced, and we do feel comfortable and safe. The illusion of safety is the balm of physical plane existence. It is the drug elixir of life. We have to have it to function and thrive. However, it is only a matter of time before instability is upon us once again. Suffering is unavoidable. Brutal reality makes its appearance at any time and in a great variety of forms throughout life and takes over in the end. We do not like this setup. We resist the pain of reality. We do not accept the compromise. We do not accept the inevitable suffering of life. Instead, we make a desperate attempt to eliminate all of our suffering through faulty mechanisms such as the cultivation of bad habits that create pseudo-relief from our pain. Step 4, habits. There's a list of 16 habits. Work, relationships, activity, materialism, computers and the internet, TV, food, shopping, alcohol, drugs, sex, power, gambling, money, violence, crime. Most of the items listed above are good for us if only we could control the dose. But our relentless craving for perfect peace forces us all too often to act in desperate, destructive ways. We develop bad habits, power trips, materialism, hyperactivity, and codependency. In a mighty but misguided effort to ward off pain, we stuff ourselves with food, drugs, alcohol, and sex. In our restless search for permanent joy, we strive for wealth, possessions, and power over others. We become activity junkies, hooked on work, watching and playing sports, glued to television, the internet, movies, music, and so on, all the while actually seeking eternal love and safety in the external world where transience and limitation are the rule. Our troubles deepen as these bad habits have a negative influence on our work and relationships. Not only do we lose sight of the love we seek, but also we infiltrate our relationships and activities with negativity. We dig ourselves into a deeper hole as we make the original inevitable suffering on the physical plane worse through our misguided attempts to eliminate it. Bad habits have a profound negative effect on our health and our response to healthcare interventions. You will learn how to eliminate bad habits in Chapter 12. Exercises. What is your core drive? What dualities are present in your life? What is your brutal reality? Describe how duality and brutal reality affect your life. Describe the relationship between the core drive, duality, and brutal reality in your life. What is the compromise described in Step 3? How does this compromise play itself out in your life? Do you have any bad habits? Step 5, tools become barriers. Reactivity. It doesn't matter what happens to us as much as how we react to it. Step 5 locates and defines the source of our reactivity, that part of our suffering that we add on to the inevitable suffering of life. This is important because we can contain, reduce, or eliminate reactivity if we are willing to do some work. Step 9 defines the nature of that work. In Step 9, Spiritual Practice, you will find a description of 12 techniques that help us reduce reactivity. 6 tools. We use 6 tools to achieve the core drive of unlimited love and safety, the place where no pain can enter. The 6 tools are mind, emotion, desire, body, activities, ego. While these tools are useful in helping us find some measure of love, safety, and pain relief, they become problems themselves. We add to our suffering with our restless minds, high emotional reactivity, excessive material desire, improperly cared for bodies, hyperactivity, and egotism. Following is a discussion how each of these tools helps us achieve our goals and how they too often spin out of control, add to our suffering, and become barriers to healing. Step 5.1, the mind. A power tool. The mind is a very powerful and effective tool designed to help us in our pursuit of happiness. We use the mind to shape the meaning of our personal story, and it is a brilliant problem solver. When difficulties arise, the reasoning mind activates its fixing mode. With its powers of understanding, reason, creativity, imagination, and positive thought, we analyze our problems and develop plans of action. Good mental health. The mind does its best work when it is calm, positive, focused, strong, and resilient. This is the definition of good mental health. From this position, it could meet the challenge of any problem, test, or lesson that life presents. Unfortunately, the mind does not always work this well. It has a complex bag of tricks that keep us from our core mission. A life of its own. The mind has a life of its own. It won't quit thinking, often good, but sometimes useless, foolish, or destructive thoughts. It ruminates and obsesses long after it has completed its work of shaping meaning and solving problems. Even when we try to control it, the mind demonstrates its relentless independence, becoming at times a formidable opponent in our quest for happiness and the elimination of suffering. When stressful problems arise, the mind often reacts like an electrical wire carrying too much charge. Overheated, it inadvertently attacks us with highly charged, negative, and often false thoughts. Negative thinking creates anger, depression, fear, and insecurity. We lose logic and flexibility. Distortion replaces truth. There is no problem solving. On the contrary, the mind in overdrive is a liability, contributing an additional layer of inner turmoil to our original painful problems. A rabbit in the attic. Ideally, when we have done all that we can on the reversible component of a problem, the mind would return to its natural state of peace and poise. Instead, even after it performs well in fixing mode, the mind remains hyperactive and restless, in perpetual motion, like a rabbit living in the attic. If we try to grab it, it hops out of our grasp. Fast and slippery, it darts from one topic to another, compromising our ability to focus, concentrate, and relax. Rumination. While at times the mind bolts like a bunny from one topic to another, it can also get stuck in a rut. When a car is stuck in the mud, it is natural to respond by pressing harder on the accelerator, but this makes the problem worse. The motor overheats, the rut deepens, and mud spreads around. Similarly, the mind gets hung up on a problem and goes over the same thoughts again and again, even after a solution and plans have already been determined. We keep thinking about the problem, which only serves to deepen the mental groove that carries the overworked pattern of thought. This common occurrence is called rumination. We think too much. Perpetual replays of our personal story are a form of addiction. Hooked to the soap opera of our own lives, we lose contentment and satisfaction. Layers of unreality. An easily distracted, restless mind is a source of untold grief. It adds layer upon layer of unreality, distortion, and negativity over our true selves. It creates twists and turns that make life unnecessarily complex and stressful. It obsessively analyzes and fantasizes, creates unrealistic assumptions and expectations, and subjects itself to attractions and repulsions. It exaggerates the importance of events and infuses insecurity into our personal story. An unconditional love affair. Despite all of this, we seem to be in an unconditional love affair with the mind. We profoundly over-identify with it, no matter how much trouble it gives us. We consider our own thoughts, likes, and dislikes to be the final arbiter of truth. A bridge of arrogance spans events and the mind's interpretations of them. We let it dominate our consciousness, even when it is wrong or hysterical. A clever dictator. The mind has a subtle, relentless grip on us. In the beginning, we don't even realize the sly tyrant has taken over, as it uses tactics that are elusive and beyond our grasp. Unaware of its wily ways, the mind keeps us under its hypnotic control. This state of consciousness is so habitual, we do not see the enemy within. Realign the mind. We need to understand how much trouble the shrewd and cunning mind causes. Then we can take steps to reduce its negative power and return it to an instrument of creativity, imagination, problem-solving, and story-shaping. In Step 9, Spiritual Practice, we learn how to do this. Here you will find a description of several techniques, including contemplation, affirmation, mindfulness, and meditation. These techniques help us realign the mind to its natural state of peace, poise, resilience, openness, and flexibility. An undisciplined mind is a weak mind. When you practice the methods described in Step 9, your mind becomes positive, calm, and strong, you will be ready for anything. Step 5.2, emotion. Self-knowledge. Emotions are natural, healthy, and intelligent. They carry important information about our issues, problems, solutions, strategies, and lessons. When we learn how to extract this information from our feelings, we gain self-knowledge, knowledge of our personal story. There are times when we have to go through emotional pain and learn from it in order to move forward. Translating emotion into self-knowledge is a valuable skill. When we know how to do this, we can transform our suffering into peace, joy, and strength. Unprocessed emotion. Too often, however, we suffer from highly reactive and volatile emotions that we do not understand. Most of us have had no training in emotional pain management. Because we don't know what to do with these feelings, we instinctively try to keep them from conscious awareness by denying their existence, avoiding them with bad habits, or pushing them into the subconscious and body, where they are stored in latent form. The unprocessed emotion remains in the body and subconscious mind, however, waiting, if not begging, for recognition. While in storage, painful, unprocessed emotions have a negative impact on our physical, mental, and spiritual health. We develop negative attitudes, distorted thinking, and we behave in destructive ways. In the worst-case scenario, suppressed emotions overwhelm our defenses and we lose control, subsequently endangering self and others. Unprocessed emotions reap untold havoc on our lives and the lives of those around us. Transformation of emotion. There is a powerful narrative embedded in our feelings about our personal story. We need to learn how to process our emotions by letting our story unfold naturally. Then we need to learn to spiritualize our story. The spiritual practices described in Step 9 teach us how to do this. When we develop a spiritual practice, we learn how to transform painful emotions into self-knowledge. Step 5.3, desire. Excessive material desire. Step 5.3 revisits Step 4, habits, from the perspective of excessive material desire, the root cause of attachments and bad habits. Healthy desires. We love the show, The Play of Life, on the physical plane. Its fascinating stories and alluring material objects capture our attention and desire. We want loving relationships, prosperity, and health. These desires are good. They help us achieve peace, safety, and joy. Problems occur when we hold on to our possessions with fierce tenacity, and when we ceaselessly desire more. Addiction. If not careful, our attachment to what we own and our thirst for more can slip into addiction. It is all too easy to become obsessed with power, sex, relationships, money, success, status, material objects, food, drugs, or alcohol. These addictions weaken and eventually paralyze our will, destroy our character, and bury our souls. Their root cause is excessive, uncontrolled desire. Desire begets desire. Even though some desires are positive, leading to success, health, and prosperity, they do not stop there. Desire begets desire. We want more things, even when we have enough. When desires are not met, we become angry, frustrated, and tense. When desires are satisfied, we are still not happy because another desire inevitably crops up and steals our peace. In our dissatisfaction and restlessness, we seek relief by quenching the next wave of desire. We cannot seem to get enough of what we think we want because once we get it, we are stimulated to get more. If we keep pursuing happiness in this seemingly endless procession of want, we become caught up in a cycle of bad habits and addiction, greed and anxiety, attachment and exhaustion. A downhill course. Excessive material desire is a root cause of dissatisfaction. Our attachments and bad habits separate us from others. We feel alone, insecure, and frightened. We act against our own will and the best interest of others. We are out of control in a vicious cycle that is difficult to break. If we do not disrupt this cycle, we can experience panic, terror, depression, anger, even rage. These painful emotions dominate our consciousness and impede our ability to find joy in this life. There can be no peace when our minds are restless and our emotions easily triggered. It is hard to love if we are on a power trip or greedy for more money. The healing methods described in this work help us transform excessive material desire into inner peace and contentment. Then we can appreciate what we already have. Step 5.4, the body. The body is our vehicle for engaging life, the doer of all activities as we seek the many joys life has to offer. However, the body throws us many challenges. It annoys us when it pulls and tugs, gets tired and heavy, or is too hot or cold. It longs for relief from desire, hunger, and discomfort. It tosses us between pleasure and pain, illness and health, life and death. It subjects us to its demands, which sometimes lead us astray into bad decisions and bad habits. Some abuse the body by eating, drinking, and smoking too much. Many are in poor shape, not getting enough physical exercise. We all suffer from a variety of physical pains and progressive disability as the years pass, and ultimately, of course, the body ends in death. We strongly identify with the body. It is our greatest attachment. We cling to the body in life and even at death. We hold on to it as though it were the only boat in the ocean. We think that letting go means drowning. Fear of death causes many to become over-involved, even obsessed with their physical appearance, refusing to accept the body's progression into old age. Some of us choose cosmetic surgery, a stitch here, a tuck there, attempting to ward off what we fear the most, annihilation of the body and extinction of consciousness. Despite all of the trouble, the body is of magnificent design. It has inherent miraculous healing powers, spiritual qualities embedded in our genetic code, and it is the carrier of our potential spiritual enlightenment and liberation. The body is a temple harboring higher states of consciousness. We can experience deep peace, love, and joy of the soul when we develop a spiritual practice. Therefore, taking control of and being responsible for the maintenance of our bodies is imperative for healing and spiritual evolution. Step 5.5, activity. Perpetual motion. During the day, we walk, talk, work, shop, cook, clean, care for children and parents, exercise, study, read, play, go to church, mosque, or synagogue, play sports, and so forth. Most of us are in a state of perpetual motion from the time we get up in the morning until we go to bed at night. Being active is good, a natural part of life. Constructive, meaningful activities expand our healing power and help us manage our pain. But popular culture would have us believe that work, recreation, and leisure will give us the deep peace of mind we seek. Experience dictates otherwise. In the course of living, we find the joys and pleasures of the outer world are limited and ephemeral. The world of events, objects, and people is always changing. Everything has a beginning, middle, and end. Joy alternates with sadness, peace with anger, health with sickness, success with failure, and pleasure with pain. We cannot avoid the ups and downs of life. Worldly pleasures do not last, and suffering is inevitable. Although we cannot be completely satisfied with our lives on the physical plane, the wisdom traditions point to our inner being as a source of lasting stillness. Discovering the inner path to contentment is difficult, however, as the external world is powerful and attractive, continuously seducing us into the illusion that happiness is within our grasp and the price is right. Stillness. Activity becomes a barrier to spiritual growth when it is compulsive, addictive, or used as a substitute for searching within for the transcendent peace, love, and joy bread of stillness. We can bring stillness into our lives when we learn such practices as contemplation, introspection, and meditation, as described in Step 9. Step 5.6, the ego, CEO of physical plane consciousness. The ego is the chief executive officer of our physical plane consciousness. Its job is to satisfy the core drive. It does this by establishing our place in the world of relationships, work, and recreation. This is good. However, the ego has become a problem as it has seceded from the union with our higher self, higher power, and creation. Like a rebel monarch, it declares itself the sole owner and operator of consciousness. It tricks us into thinking that material consciousness is the only reality. Forcing out all experiences of higher consciousness, it would have us believe we are alone and limited. A dictatorship. The ego has surreptitiously taken over the control rooms of the mind, emotion, desire, body, and action. It uses these tools in its desperate search for immortality and permanent peace. The search is in vain, however, as the ego runs into the brick wall of limitation and inevitable suffering on the physical plane. Nevertheless, the ego does not give up its battle. It counters with an insatiable desire for recognition, success, and power. This results in excessive attention-seeking, inflated self-importance, accumulation, and empire-building. Selfishness. The ego behaves like a dictator, using a variety of tactics to gain power over others, including subtle manipulation and overt aggression. Concerned primarily with itself, the ego behaves as a greedy narcissist. I, me, my, mine. Territorial and self-important, it tries to manipulate others to its own ends and purposes. With a voracious appetite for control, it stifles dissent and ignores criticism. Even if the ego's works give us success, power, and wealth, we're still in trouble. No matter how important we become under the control of the ego, we remain separate from the vast kingdom of peace within ourselves. Since it has no foundation at its core, the ego is insecure and fears extinction. Thus, it is paranoid and defensive when it does not need to be, and tries to be right all of the time, even when it is wrong. Because the ego lacks introspection on its own problems, it remains self-righteous while it scapegoats others. The ego resists change and continues to hold on to outmoded ideas. It leads us into the dead-end streets and dark alleys of our consciousness. With the ego in charge, we remain troubled, insecure, alone, and frightened. Clearly, we must address the problem of the ego on the spiritual path. In the section on spiritual practices, we learn how to reduce and ultimately replace the ego with the power and wisdom of the soul. Summary of Step 5. Tools in Alignment. There are 6 tools that we use to achieve the core drive. They are mind, emotion, desire, body, activity, and ego. The tools in alignment are profound assets. They are our best friends. Following is a summary of the tools in alignment. The mind, when positive, calm, and focused, is a brilliant problem solver and shaper of meaning. Emotions are a source of self-knowledge. Desire is good for health, prosperity, and love. The body is the engager of life, the doer of all of our activities, and the source of our potential liberation and enlightenment. Activity is good for work, school, training, volunteer, recreation, culture, hobbies, sports, and more. And the ego helps us establish our place in the world of work and relationships. The tools out of alignment. While these tools help us, they can also spin out of control and add to our suffering. This is referred to as reactivity. The tools out of alignment is the same thing as reactivity. And there are 6 components to this reactivity. The mind is restless, relentless, and has a life of its own. The emotions lead to high emotional reactivity. Desire leads to excessive material desire, resulting in attachments and bad habits. The body becomes heavy, tired, hurts, disabled, and ultimately dies. Activity becomes hyperactivity, and the negative part of the ego leads to separation, selfishness, territoriality, and self-importance. The 6 tools out of alignment are a universal problem. It pins us to the mat of the status quo. It is the root cause of much of our suffering. These are the add-ons to the inevitable suffering of life. But there is good news. Reactivity is reversible. We can get the 6 tools back in alignment when we develop a spiritual practice. In step 9, you will learn a variety of spiritual methods that will help you do this work. Points to remember. The first 5 steps describe the evolution of suffering on the physical plane. In summary, step 1, we want complete elimination of suffering, unlimited peace, love, and joy, and immortality. This is the core drive. Steps 2 and 3, we attempt to achieve the core drive through our relationships, work, and recreation, but these prove inadequate since life on the physical plane is dual and brutal. There is limitation, impermanence, separation, and suffering is inevitable. Step 4 to 5. We have 6 tools that help us achieve the core drive on the physical plane. While these tools help us achieve our goals, they spin out of control, adding a great deal of suffering to the inevitable suffering of life. There are 2 levels of suffering. The inevitable suffering of life, described in step 2, and reactivity, which is when the 6 helpful tools spin out of control, as described in step 5. We cannot control duality and brutal reality, the inevitable suffering of life. However, we can control how we respond. We can intervene at step 5. In step 9, spiritual practice, you will learn a variety of methods that help reduce this reactivity. This is very good news. because we add a lot of suffering to the inevitable suffering of life. Exercises. Number one. Step five describes how the mind, emotions, desires, body, activities, and ego are assets that become liabilities. Most of us remain totally unaware of this as it happens. As you begin and advance in your spiritual practice, try to become more mindful of when these tools are working for and against you. Review how each of these tools presents both opportunities and challenges in your life. Ask yourself the following questions. Does your mind both solve and create problems for you? What kinds of problems does your mind create? Would you like to be able to control your mind but don't know how? Do you struggle with painful emotions that seem excessive and get you into trouble? What are some examples in your life of how desire led to attachment and a bad habit or two? Have your bad habits led to excessive emotional reactivity? Are you mindful of your body as a carrier of higher states of consciousness? Do you fill your waking life with continuous activity? Do you have built-in periods of retreat and solitude for rest and regeneration? Describe how your ego helps you and gets you into trouble. Observe the functions of the ego. It takes a long time to learn all of its tricks. Make a list. In this chapter, we studied steps 1 through 5. These steps describe two levels of suffering, the inevitable suffering of life, and our reaction to it. Steps 6 through 10 address each of these levels. In the following chapters, we will study how pain management, step 8, and spiritual practice, step 9, lead to the recovery of the soul and higher power, step 7, as the peace, love, and joy we crave, step 10. In summary, steps 1 through 5 are about suffering, unskillful pain management, the horizontal axis, the locus of control being primarily outside, and we descend. Steps 6 through 10 describe healing, skillful pain management, vertical axis, shifting the locus of control from outside to inside, and we ascend.